The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
1, 2, 3, 4.
It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. I could have never seen what was coming for me. Hangs at the skate park, hangs by the beach. My life, it feels like.
My brother, me, and advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
What up, Trav Nation? It's me, your middleest brother, Travis Vroom Vroom McElroy.
What up, Trav Nation? It's me, your sweet baby brother, 30 under 30, media luminary, built for tough Griffin McElroy.
Hot out there today.
Little, it's okay. A scorcher. It's
hot really out there, real hot in Ohio. In Ohio, it's hot. And can I tell you, boys, I looked up. Why is it hot in Ohio? And let me tell you.
Hold on. Can we pause? Because when you look up the weather for a place you are, do you look up why it's hot in Ohio?
No, I looked up the weather, and we're having a heat wave, a tropical heat wave. And I said, this is unnatural. And can I tell you guys, because I pay attention to the capital T, capital S, the science. But I pay attention to the science.
Yeah,
June. It was the first day of summer. I mean, it's like summer had begun.
I assumed when I looked up why it was hot in Ohio, they would be like, "It's climate change, my dude." But I looked it up,
Solstice, and it said,
"There's a heat dome."
Okay,
and I thought about that, and I thought, "Who watches the Watchmen? Who's checking these meteorologists to be like, I don't think that, just say you don't know.
I think a outspoken skepticism of the scientific community is exactly what those guys have coming to them.
Now I heard that the big man in charge fired a bunch of all the good meteorologists and he left only the ones that were truly loyal.
And this motherfucker loves domes. He's like talking about them.
Maybe we just got like 8 or 9 meteorologists left that are like, I don't know, guys. My best guess, it's like a bubble of hot.
So right here, I've drawn kind of a half circle, and in there, it's real hot.
I don't know.
Hot dome?
I simply can't get over it was a hot day on the day of the summer solstice, and you felt compelled to get on a search engine of some sort.
The day after West Virginia Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, summertime.
It was real hot. No, it wasn't just hot. It was like 100 degrees.
But the question your mind jumped to, when that happens to me, typically I'm like, oh, God, slushy me, baby, because I've got to go get a slushy to try and stay cool. I don't think, why is it hot?
I have an inquisitive, curious mind that looks for answers and wants to know more about the world around him instead of just accepting that things are the way that they are and drinking a fucking slushy.
Okay. Sounds judgy.
No, sorry. You guys get to come at me for my beautiful inquisitive mind and I start questioning your slushy practices and all of a sudden I'm the bad guy?
It's just mine is practical in a way. I don't need to know why it's hot. I'm not going to be
able to... Knowledge is power.
Knowledge is power.
Knowledge
so
is.
You're going to go out in your helicopter and smash this heat dome apart.
Yes.
If you fly through the perimeter of it enough times, you'll bust it. You'll bust that dome wide open.
I haven't even tried to go through it, Griffin. I don't even know if it's permeable.
Can I give you guys this? Knowledge is power, but curiosity is a burden.
That's cool.
You know what I mean?
Fuck, yeah. Dude. So you just have to wait for the knowledge to naturally flow into your face?
No, I'm just saying, like, let go of curiosity.
Yeah, because sometimes sometimes you are curious and you don't get the knowledge from that. And so there is no power gained whatsoever.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put together a team like the Planeteers, the Captain Planet Planeteers, where each of us has a specific but deep vein of knowledge about a thing.
Right.
We don't have to know everything. I just need to know about, like, weather, and they know about politics, and they know about animals, and together we'll compete on the trivia circuit.
You think
you're talking about Beat the Geek.
Fuck, you're right. Shit. It's been
done. We gotta stop inventing Beat the Geeks, guys.
Yeah, it's a really good format. No argument here. It's really good.
It's just all roads lead back there at some point, you know?
Guys, I wanted to briefly apologize to you for being 3 to 5 minutes late for this recording.
Thank you.
Okay.
And I was thinking about it when I was trying to get up the nerve to get on the call. You know,
you do that?
Well, I don't know.
Are you afraid of us?
No, I'm just like doing. This is kind of what I wanted to talk about. I was thinking about how I've been 3 to 5 minutes late for everything that we've ever done.
Yeah,
professionally.
Man. Yeah.
To an extent where, like, I mean, like, people usually have to say, like, are you coming to this or whatever. And I was thinking about it when I was between 3 and 5 minutes late to this meeting. And I was thinking that my suspicion is I want to explore with you guys if you haven't.
I would love to unpack this in the middle of the show.
3 to 5 minutes?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. My suspicion is that the problem may be me and not... that there have been an unbroken sequence of unavoidable events.
3 to 5 minute long inconveniences.
3 to 5 minute long events that have prohibited me or prevented me from joining calls at the appropriate time. As I was between 3 and 5 minutes late for this call, for like completing my unbroken streak of like a decade and a half of being 3 to 5 minutes late for literally everything we've ever done.
Mm-hmm. Justin, may I? Not to let you
please,
off the hook,
because like I am just now starting to worry.
You're 100% correct.
What if it's me? I need help from the outside.
It's not a sequence of events, Justin, because then the time would keep compiling. What I would hypothesize is that a decade and a half ago, some event occurred that set your calendar back 3 to 5 minutes.
You're stuck.
And since then, you have been 3 to 5 minutes behind on everything.
Yeah. I'm glad that this is not tied to trauma. I was really worried you're about to tell me that. At some point something bad happened to me at 10:02 and I've just been like kind of dicey about those.
Trauma's not real. Trauma's made up to sell toys. What I'm saying
What a twist.
No, what I'm saying is that 15 years ago, you paused too long.
Yeah.
Before doing the next thing you're supposed to do. And now you're just fucked for the rest of your life. You'll never make that up.
I think of myself as a considerate person.
Sure.
Writ large, I like to think of myself as considerate.
Yeah.
And if I'm late to a thing that I'm driving to, I'm very much on edge.
Yes.
I really want to get there on time if I'm driving to it.
You're punctual in person, but
in person,
in cyberspace, there's a little bit of maybe
another bit of evidence that maybe I am the problem.
Huh.
Because it doesn't seem this natural occurrence chaos effect thing that's keeping me from ever getting to anything between 3 and 5 minutes within the time. I think maybe is because it doesn't affect me in the outside world.
Sure.
Maybe it is an interior issue.
Are you using a VPN?
Because sometimes could be a VPN that takes 3 to 5 minutes to get.
That can do it. It can affect
the
connection speed.
That's a high ping kind of thing.
Is it like time zones being a thing? Maybe you're just in a slightly different time zone than us.
It's rudeness standard time. I think that you should try being 10 minutes early to stuff for a while. Can you guys even imagine how good that would feel to just be like chilling for 10 and you get to like really get yourself together? And
I'm always the first person on the call.
Yeah, but are you 10? This isn't about you. This is about our constantly tardy brother.
So there's one of two things that's going to happen.
Yeah.
If I'm 10 minutes early to the call, thing one is I will turn it on, start the call, and I will obviously forget that I'm on the call.
Sure.
This is a given.
Yeah.
Because I will start to think about if I still remember the names of all the presidents in order, and I'll have to go see if I do, right? So obviously, that's
Or you'll
tough.
Look up why it's hot or something.
Why
and
it's
then
hot.
You'll fall,
So one of the two things is going to happen. One, I'm going to close it and do something else. That's been pretty consistent. Or two.
Wait, why would you close it?
Why is it open? I mean, why did I have it open?
Well, you know what I mean? Like, open. You're making the choice the
fleeting,
to close it.
Because I will have the fleeting thought, desktop's getting messy. Better tidy up.
And there's no,
then I close everything and I go make a sandwich.
And there's no.
So it's 10 minutes early.
This is not me saying that Justin would do something like this, but you can't leave a camera just on in your room because what if a butt cheek comes out? What if a nut comes out?
Well, my bigger worry, Justin, would be that if you started being 10 minutes early, Griffin and I would then match it, right? So then you'd have to be 10 minutes earlier so that you were still 10 minutes before the call. And then Griffin and I would eventually match that as well as we fall into sync.
Yeah.
And eventually we're recording 3 days early. You know what I mean?
Think is crazy is that I have noticed this and you guys who it has been inconveniencing for 15 years, you guys have never noticed it. That is what is most surprising about this conversation.
Huh. I
thought there would be a bit of recognition from you guys, like, oh yeah, this is something we've noticed too. But like nothing. So I'm actually, maybe it's not an issue. So maybe this
possible
isn't something
to
I gotta
filter
unpack.
Text messages
yeah,
for
that's what
increasing
I was gonna
levels
say.
Of panic.
If I search mine and Travis's private text message thread, if I just search the phrase, is it getting worse? Do you have any idea how many times this exact conversation would appear?
The good news is no. It's just between 3 to 5 minutes.
It's
very consistent, actually.
I appreciate the consistent tardiness because it gives me time to be like, I've logged on. It's 9:58. I'm 2 minutes early. I know I have 8 minutes to turn on the Steam Deck, check in, see how things are going with my digital dudes before Justin gets on.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me ask this.
It's like an airlock of focus.
I'm thinking through some stuff now because I'm starting to detect some light sarcasm that makes me think that you have noticed that I've been 3 to 5 minutes late for everything.
What?
Ever.
No.
How many times would I need to
be a good boy on time for us to forget
this?
Yeah,
how many times before I start to get some positive... I'm like,
one.
Oh, Travis?
Yeah, definitely.
I feel like we've all been very constructive.
Okay, that was an erosion of trust.
Griffin has at least been able to maintain a veneer, okay? Yeah. And I need you at least shoot for veneer, okay?
Okay, a Greg veneer.
Now, it's just that I'm still your older brother. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's a respect. You're right. Yeah. There's a respect there. I've always thought it was a dominance play, by the way, to be 3 to 5 minutes late as the king enters the room and everybody's
That's what pants. Worries me. That is what worries me, Trav. Okay. That is the secret that's keeping the stars apart, is I am worried about that. And I don't want it to be that, but there is a 70% chance.
I mean, I don't think it's a power play thing. I think I know the folds of your mind as well as my own at this point. And I do think that, imagine you have a button on your desk that says begin work on it. You're not going to spring to press that button. You're going to look at it and be like, not quite yet. Gotta watch. There's a trailer for Megan 2.0. I gotta just real quick.
There is? Is a new one?
Fuck.
Don't tease me.
I can't wait for that queen to slay.
Are you saying that I'm a procrastinator by nature, Griffin?
Yeah.
Hey, babe.
Yeah.
We've all had a lot of fun here today, but we should be careful, you know. There's a lot of glass around all of our homes, I think.
Oh, okay.
In this neighborhood.
Weird. It's a weird move to invite sort of constructive criticism and then
I'm just
once
trying
it
to keep the
rails.
Hey, Griff,
watch it, mister.
Hey, Griff, I'm just trying to keep the rails on. Because if it gets nasty,
here's
you know,
the thing about construction,
no one wants it to
Griffin.
Get nasty.
The thing about construction is if you build a set of stairs, it goes both ways. You know what I mean? Think about it.
Griffin has been messing up too. Thank you, Travis. Yeah. Everyone else
I
has
have
been so early.
When I say middleist, I don't just mean I'm the middle of the three brothers. I mean I've been keeping it average as long as possible.
Fully unspectacular.
What if I did start to be kind of the on-time brother? How long do you think it would need to take before? Because this is my thinking, is I don't know if I can.
10,000 hours.
The problem is me.
How many 3 to 5 minutes does it take to make 10,000 hours of being on time?
That's the worst problem. That's the worst part about realizing that you're the problem.
Yeah.
Is that I'm the only me I got. You know, where do I go from there?
Yeah.
I don't have a backup on. If the problem's me, I'm all out of options.
This is what we learned from the Michael Keaton movie, Multiplicity. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
That let him highlight and isolate his faults. He could really see them in those guys.
Exactly.
So,
anyways, thanks. That's another great episode. Thanks, everybody, so much for joining us for Brother Talk, the only McRoy Brother Therapy podcast out there.
In closing, I will work on it. Thank you so much.
That's all we can ask. Try to get it to 2 to 3 minutes.
Well, you can ask.
If you can shave it down to 2 to 3 minutes, now we're talking, that's 15, 16 hours a year that we're
going to be
racking
up. That's negligible at that point. That's not even like late. If you're 2 minutes late to something, that's just a difference in clocks or whatever. You know what I mean?
Guys, I've become very self-conscious about how nasty and dirty my
you're doing some ASMR there with tweezers.
I just realized I was trying to discreetly pluck some of the yucky fuzz and gunk off of my mic cover. And
for the record, just because we did just post the TikTok of you chiding me for playing with my stress-relieving donut, I will say that you...
That's nice, though, isn't it?
This Griffin,
just
this
imagine,
is a
no,
fight?
Imagine this is the part of
a
your brain
distraction. I managed to not mention it for the record.
That you did
okay.
Great. The mic is your brain juice, and the fuzz is the thing inside of you that is so wrong that makes you be thoughtless and late. And I just take that energy and I pluck it on out, and now it's good.
Hey Griffin, if you could zoom in on that like a million times, so I could see like the fibers going, that's a great TikTok for me.
I don't want to show, here's the thing, I don't want to show the business end of the mic because it has some lip stuff on it that I am not proud of.
What are you doing over there? Why are both of you monsters?
I'm French.
Why thoughtless and late? French. Like, I thought, you know what I mean? Like, it's not thoughtless because I've been thinking about
thoughtless
it.
Thoughtless was too much.
It's too much, okay? Thoughtless do you, was too much. Okay, let's keep the respect.
You're way older than me.
How am I doing?
Way older than me, so the respect needs to be even.
If we're doing a quick check-in, how am I doing?
Travis, you're crushing, man. Fucking slapping ass out of your power.
This is the beautiful thing. Always give 70%, and then when you give 80%, people are like, whoa, dude.
Yeah, damn.
I've been keeping my jokes so bad so that when I do an okay one, people lose it.
Yeah.
And hey, before you send a bunch of helpful tips of how I can get to things on time, I'm doing fine.
Yeah.
It's all going good, man. We're not complaining. We all have a great relationship.
We accept
our little quirks. Yeah. It's all good.
We need to have a podcast where the three of us just hang and fucking juice each other up. Just so some of the backseat family dynamic observation, people be like, yeah, but on the good time McRoy hang time, you can tell that they're still fucking.
They're all in character
and chilling and hanging.
I thought that's what this was.
Did you thought this was the chill vibe McRoy hang time?
I don't have these kinds of conversations with people I don't care for.
That's a good
point.
That's
fair, dude. That's fucking deep.
You know what I mean? I don't have check-ins on my own behavior. I don't think about my own behavior with them. They're lucky a little bit of the sparkle landed on their shoulder. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, for sure, dude.
I mean, yeah, you guys are the only ones that care about judging me. If that
to me, it was a Tuesday.
But more people need to watch the Street Fighter movie, by the way, because that's like 90% of our dialogue.
Yeah,
and I need you guys to see that in Bison scene.
Yeah,
I work at an equine vet, and though it's not part of my normal work routine, I'm often asked to make a trip to the post office and shipping store. Whenever this happens, I'm usually also asked to stop by the bank and get change for our cash box at the front desk. Side benefit, stamps.com, nobody tells you about.
Nope.
If you're not going to do that errand, people don't give you other errands.
That's true.
The best part.
Think about it. I pull up to the window and I hand the teller an envelope with the money and a little sticky note with the type of change that we need. Usually while they're counting it, they do it right next to a giant basket of lollipop. Brother, how do I explain to the teller that I want one of these lollipops? Is it weird for a 27-year-old conducting business and exchanging change to want a free lollipop? That's from Suckerless Sucker in the South.
I do feel like, as long as we're in like a helpful criticism mode, a lot of the preamble of this question was a bit extraneous. It felt a little bit like you just wanted to brag about the fact that you get to touch horses morning, noon, and night.
I just assumed that they were telling us that because they ride up to the bank on a horse.
Okay.
That was my assumption.
Probably not, because you can't stop a horse from just shredding one of those lollipop buckets.
I'll also tell you this, man. If I'm working at a bank, someone rolls up on a horse, hands me an envelope with a note on it. Before I even look at the note, I assume I'm being held
reach
up by an old
for
time.
This guy.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that, for like, sure, man.
Handing a teller a note is such a risky move.
Yeah, sure.
Of course you can have a lollipop.
Yeah, I think it's important to start seeing these things not as you sort of like indulging yourself, because no one is going to look at you as the person you are and think, oh, there they go again, having a delicious lollipop. What they're going to think is, thank you for giving us all permission.
Yes.
To enjoy this delicious treat.
Yes.
It's just, there's a big bowl of lollipops. That rules.
That's
and if
great.
You can look at that and enjoy the opportunity, the fact that you're already in the mind space of like, ooh, lollipops are delicious. I'd love to enjoy one. You're so close. Just take that next step and grab one.
I would also
pass it on.
I would also say that who do you think the lollipops are there for? Business children?
Thank
who
you.
Are there to
Hey Griffin, that's actually a pretty good point.
Thanks, man. Yeah, no, I feel
kids aren't allowed in banks.
No.
They'll steal all the money and get chocolate.
These
on
little
bills.
Sugar discs are good for me. Do you understand?
I thought you were
that?
Talking about kids for a second. Sorry.
No, I'm talking about lollipops. These sugar discs come on a stick. They deliver a good taste to my mouth that makes my brain chill for a little bit.
Yeah. The ones at my bank are THC. Like that, they're not for
regardless,
kids.
Even
like
without that yeah. good green herb, if it's just a sugar disc that makes my brain release stuff that makes me feel good, oh, that's medicine now. So you don't get much more grown up than that.
Now, there is a bit of a social construct that you need to do here.
What's
where
that?
You give kind of a chuckle and like a, oh, as you take one.
No.
Right? That, nope. That's what I...
You give it a...
No way.
Not a giggle, but like a, oh, just a little, not that big, obviously. I'm showcasing to the people at home this is an audio medium.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
a little bit of a don't mind if I do kind of moment.
A little decadence. No,
yes.
I feel
and then
like
you grab a whole handful of them and you throw them in your plastic jack-o'-lantern bucket that you brought with you.
If you brought the McDonald's jack-o'-lantern bucket, you grab a fistful of lollipops, you do need to
Very
put a little
funny.
Bit of English on the ball. You do need to give it a little bit of special something for later. But if you're just taking I am not a confident man. I do not carry myself with confidence, generally speaking. The confidence that I have when I reach into a lollipop bucket at a host stand at a restaurant or a bank teller window or whatever is so complete and so thorough because there is no other way I will be allowed to grab a lollipop. There
do
is no way
the
except
first
to reach.
One?
What's that?
Do you grab the first one you touch or do you rifle for the perfect flavor?
I grab the first one I touch. I do it in a manner that suggests like this is how a grown up eats a sugar disc. And it's the only place in which I feel confident that I can do that. Because if I hedge even a little bit, then all of a sudden it's fucking weird that I'm eating a lollipop and I'm 38 years old.
I just worry that I couldn't eat it in a non-seductive way.
Sure.
The teller is going to get the wrong impression.
Yeah.
I don't know how to eat a lollipop in front of someone else that's not going to arouse them.
Yeah, fair.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how to turn that off.
I'm just worried that I'll grab the
like
first one.
I'm like a young Sherilyn Finn.
Yes, exactly.
I don't know how to turn the sensuality.
Yeah.
I don't know how to dim my own sexuality.
Exactly.
You know?
I'm worried that I'll grab the first one I touch, pop it in, and then go like, ooh, butterscotch, ooh, take it away, ooh,
yeah.
and hold it out between my fingers until they hold it in the trash can, or they hold out their hand and they take it, and then I'll start crying until I find like a blue raspberry, and then I feel better. And they then just start handing me money to try to get me to stop crying, and it's the perfect heist.
At the kids' barbershop where I take my kids to get their hair cut, they give you out a lollipop and a balloon when you're done, and a lot of the times one of my two boys, my precious angels, do not want the lollipop. They only want the balloon. But you know who does want that lollipop?
Daddy like you.
Daddy does like his medicine. And so I will take one. I'll be like, if I don't take it, he's just going to lose it in the car later. And then we walk outside. And then how many licks? One, two, three. And I'm crunching.
Okay. You go up to your bank. They have a basket of candy. Okay. What is the candy that would be in the basket? And I'm talking about a typical basket candy. Like, don't put full-size whatchamacallits in there.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Like, a typical basket candy. What is the candy that's in the basket where you are absolutely 100% stone-cold definitely going to get one? No question.
I mean, this is more of a restaurant thing, but Andy's Mints, those are made exclusively for grown-ups. No child is going to eat those. Those are for us. So that's a 100%.
I feel like you've been trying to get Chupa Chups into an adult brand. Like, I feel like you've been trying to give them more of an adult spin. Like, it's something like Kojak has, you know?
Yeah, no, Chupa
Chups.
I mean,
yeah, it's a more refined flavor palette.
It is. A Chupa Chup is a lollipop for a lollipop enthusiast. I do love a Chupa Chup.
You know, the one that I'm always going to get, guys?
What's that, Juice?
That strawberry with the goo inside.
The gooey berry, yeah.
Love, I love a delicious strawberry bonbon, especially when it's freshly made, at least within the last 20 years, and the goop is still goopy. Oh, yeah.
They actually haven't made any of those since 1971, and so there are no under 20s.
They're waiting for the supply when I to pop run low.
One, when I pop one of those strawberry bonbons into my mouth and I feel those little prickly ridges dance across my tongue, I think, oh, yeah, daddy's having a break now.
Yeah.
You're supposed to take now, the plastic off, Justin, by the way.
Now daddy's having a break. Okay.
I don't even know that I enjoy them, but I'm just compelled to take the little crumbly peppermint kind of like pillows. That kind of thing.
Not
like,
those are the worst. Those are
the but every time I see one, I went, okay, well, yeah, I
like
should.
Those. I like the way they crumble in your mouth. Yeah, you can't tell how old they are.
Like those peppermint chalk. Like it's wonderful. It's
all, yeah. I like the little mint. The little mints you get a spoonful of, you know what I mean? The after-dinner mints, the pastel colors.
What else do you guys like? You like Jordan almonds?
What if they just had loose Skittles? Just loose Skittles. Hell yeah. And you reach in and grab a paw.
Nothing loose.
And then if you take the golden Skittle, then they give you $100 from the
bank.
Just
enjoy it. If you're not enjoying your lollipop, what are you doing?
Yeah.
That's the whole point, to enjoy those. Over the last winter, a new bodega recently opened up near me. I started going there regularly for my coffee as it's near my apartment and dog friendly, so I go with my pup on our morning walk. I go often enough that the guy who works there sees me coming through the window, has my order prepared as I walk in. Large hot coffee with a splash of skim milk. Man, that's cool.
Yeah.
I've always wanted that.
I want to be a regular somewhere.
I know. I have a problem with living in a non-walkable cities, like I'd have to travel.
We should move to New York.
It's 5 minutes away. The problem is, now that it's summer, the weather's getting hot, I want to make my annual switch from hot coffee to iced coffee. But when I get to the counter, this nice man has already got my hot coffee ready and waiting for me. How do I casually mention to him that I do not want the coffee he has already prepared for me, and I'd like him to throw it out and make me a new drink instead that's from too hot to handle?
So, this is one of those things where it's like, on paper, like if an alien analyzed this and had no sense of human behavior, they'd be like, this is a conversation you only have to have once a season. Like,
no,
what?
This
why?
Is extremely difficult.
But it's like, no. There's so much momentum built up behind it.
That's why I can't
when we talk
stand.
About becoming a regular, right? There's a level of trust.
Maybe I don't want to be. Hey, guys, maybe I don't want to be regular.
There's a level of trust and pride there.
Yeah.
Where the person is like, every time I see them coming and I know what they want and I do it, that's a building block in a relationship. Yeah. And it takes so little.
So the answer, I think, is this is a situation. The good news is you can remedy this with one good go, with one good one, where you can give them the heads up. I want it iced. Please don't waste the coffee. And then for the rest of the summer, iced until I say otherwise. So all you got to do is not let them see you. You're going to need to creep.
Ooh.
Yeah. Maybe you sketch on the back of a garbage truck and then you just kind of like smash in through the front door as quick as you can and just go, ice! Before they can. Well, don't actually. Now that I'm thinking about it. Wicked, yeah. Wicked, definitely, super duper duper.
Do not do what I just said.
Under no circumstances do what I said.
The sketching part you can do.
The sketching part kicks ass, but you're going to want to bust in and you're going to want to be very explicit and say, hey, stop before you do that. And then you explain your actual
What if
is.
You go in disguise?
Cool.
Both.
What if you sketch go in disguise?
Sketch in there like an old grandma.
Sketching. The sketching introduced a legal aspect.
Safely sketch with all the proper safety equipment, like an old grandma.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you walk in or sketch in. Maybe you can keep the momentum
if
going.
If you sketch into the bodega, the driver's got some splaining to do.
No, you wait till they take a turn and you would slingshot around the moon to get to Mars faster.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So then you launch in and you're like, oh, it's me, iced coffee.
Yeah. That could work.
Ooh, you know what? This is where curiosity comes in. You come in and go, oh, not for me today. Didn't you hear about the heat dome? It also helps if you know their name.
Right.
They've already made it.
By introducing, and I'm sorry to say this for a second question, a bit of a chuckle. You make it seem like an inside joke between you and the bodega runner, where you're like, oh, I know I normally would, but extreme circumstances have broken my spirit, and I simply cannot do hot coffee. This is neither a breaking of our trust nor our routine together, but in fact, the universe has conspired to make it too hot for me to have this coffee. But you're going to do all of that in one brief chuckle and shrug. Oh, wish I could.
That is one of the most insane things you've said this year.
That's
history will prove me correct.
Yeah, that's good. This year, that's reasonable.
What is?
Like, I thought Griffin was about to say of all time.
Oh,
and then
okay.
Griffin put the thing of this year, and I think, like, I'm thinking about some of the crazier shit that you've said this year, and it's like...
It's just that your suggestion was to...
It's breaking in the top three.
Your suggestion to this inconvenient social situation is to let them make the coffee, wasting coffee, which is, like, objective number one. I feel like we could probably sidestep that. And then smash in through the door, traveling at 65 miles an hour, post-sketch slingshot,
yes.
And say, ha,
that's
ha, ha,
non-negotiable.
Say to this basically stranger, ha, 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 dump that out because the universe right. has made it too hot for
I
me
think
to
what
drink
we were
it.
I think what we're seeing there is Travis started trying to give a good idea.
Yeah, he is.
Realized halfway through that it was a bad idea, and then tried to convert it into a joke.
Yeah.
To hide.
None of that was a joke.
It was an extremely bad idea.
None of that was a joke. What I'm saying is it's not a
stranger. Oh, no. I know it wasn't a joke. That part is clear.
Hear me out. It's not a stranger. You've been building this regular type of relationship. Now you're feeling like the social anxiety of having to say, oh, actually, I didn't want hot coffee. If you play it like you're uncomfortable telling them that, that's where the erosion of that building relationship goes. If you say it like it's an inside joke, right? It's go, oh, I normally would. You're right. But a little too hot today. Let's try ice this time. Right now, it's
they
building
dump it out, they
the
waste
relationship.
The coffee. You've lost the game. They dump it out. They waste the coffee. You've lost the game.
There's only one way to correct this. When you go in tomorrow.
They lose the milk. Let's be clear. Sorry. The coffee is batch made. Who cares about throwing out coffee? It's the milk that's the problem. They're wasting milk. That's the problem. Sorry. Go on. In this economy?
What if when you go in tomorrow, you say, oh, it's a hot one out here. Can you throw a couple ice cubes in there?
Yes.
And then tomorrow, you say, ah, it's still a hot one. Can you double the amount of ice cubes from yesterday?
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, that's not too much. And then it's four. And then you go in tomorrow and you say, it's a hot one out there. Can you double the amount of ice cubes from yesterday?
Yeah.
And that doesn't sound that crazy, but now it's 8.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
16. Within 2 weeks, I remember from
elementary
school.
Well, that becomes
school,
your regular order, though, Justin. You just keep doubling.
Well, within 2 weeks, you're going to be ordering like... pounds of ice, yeah. Like because you're doubling
you're
every
2 5-gallon buckets of ice.
Yeah. You're gonna eventually be pulling a U-Haul up, just be like, load this bitch with ice, because I got 2 U-Hauls coming tomorrow. You know what I mean? Eventually, you're gonna have some sort of side business,
and then you sell the ice back to them. Money, boom. Wait, is that what we're talking about?
Bill it. You sorry. You spill it. You spill it outside.
Griffin.
Don't make a mess. You take it outside. You say, ah, and you spill it on the ground. And then you go in. You say,
spill it.
Dang it. You say, dang it. I spilled it outside. I'll have another one, please. Iced, if you dare.
I know it's going to be uncomfortable, but if you do spill the whole thing on yourself, I think you have one get out of jail free card where you could be like, you know what? From now on, let's try.
Too hot. Burn tummy.
I can't.
Burn tummy. My skin. Burn skin.
Travis, no, this is maybe a real trauma. You can like burn
Wait,
yourself
the
with
first
the
one?
Well, yeah. You just go in with your coffee and say, I can't deal with a hot coffee anymore.
Yeah.
It's too much for me.
Because I could sue you like that lady at McDonald's did, and you'd be fucking
Which
ruined.
Which was completely
and
justified then, by and the way. She got a bad rap.
Then when we hit like September 20th, you'd be like, I think I'm ready to try again.
Yeah, I've been good.
My therapist thinks.
I've been processing a lot.
My therapist thinks that I should try it again.
Give me 2 hot coffees.
But then it gets hot again. It was a fake thing. And you said it was too soon. I wasn't ready.
What were you going to say, Griff? I want to hear your version too.
You take 2 hot coffees in your hand, say, I'm going to run laps around the store, come back. You're going to see, man. Not a drop. I'm ready. Give me.
I'm ready.
Ready for the big show.
I like that the trauma in Griffin's mind isn't the spilling hot coffee on oneself. It's simply the spilling.
I'm sorry.
So bad about spilling.
I found a fucking beautiful narrow shaft of sunlight, which was you just are going to have to buy two coffees once and tell them you want the other one iced, and then you're good to go for the rest of your life. And that was a beautiful and flawless solution. And you guys were like, burn your chest and genitals as bad as you possibly can with this scorching, scalding coffee.
It's not a solution show. Okay. It's a comedy show.
You just tell, the next time you go in, you tell them that from now on, you're subletting your apartment to your twin brother who looks exactly like you, except prefers his coffee iced.
Hey, look out for the Iceman. Hey, for real, though. He's my twin brother. He likes it cold.
He'll be here for the summer. But the second the thermometer, he's like the heat miser. The second the temperature drops below 80 degrees, he's leaving. And I'll be back. And I'll have an eye patch this time. Cool, huh? Anyways, see you then. His name's my name, too. Important to note. Spelled differently, but don't worry about that.
You know who else will be back, Travis?
Who?
Us. Right after this.
ZocDoc. Feels good to say, doesn't it? Say it, Justin.
ZocDoc.
Oh, yeah.
I use ZocDoc.
Okay.
Did I tell you that? I found ZocDoc to find a dentist.
Well, what is ZocDoc? Well, ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality in-network doctors and click to instantly book an appointment. You did a dentist, you say? You found a dentist?
It's a dentist. You know what? It's really hard to find a dentist or a doctor. It's annoying. You never know the right person to call. You never know where to start. ZocDoc made it really easy. They just said, hey, here's some dentists. Just pick one. Your insurance takes them. Go.
Yeah,
go
like they're one. Holding out a deck of cards, like a magician. They hold out a deck of cards. They say, pick a card. And you pick it. And they say, that's your dentist. And you say, what? I thought these were cards. And then you look and you're holding a dentist. And that's the magic trick that ZocDoc performs for you.
Preventative care is really important. And if you're putting it off because it's tough and it's irritating, ZocDoc can make that a lot easier. So stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/mybrother to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/mybrother. ZocDoc.com/mybrother. ZocDoc. I just spelled D-O-T. ZocDoc.com/mybrother.
Justin, tell me about your kitty.
I'll tell you boys about my cats, Olive and Amelia. Every morning they wake up and they start being real friendly. You know why? Because they are ready for their smooth bird. They're ready for smooth bird or smooth other bird, but they'll also take smooth cow if you have it. Those are just a few of the literal names of the great flavors of Smalls cat food. For the record, my picky ladies love smooth other bird. That's a great place to start. They're these prepackaged packets of food full of really good stuff that is, I will tell you this. My cats, since I made the switch from dry food to Smalls, they have been healthier. They, according to their veterinarian, their coats look better. That anecdotal, but it's been my experience. And they love it. And it's really easy to just open one of these individual packets. They arrive fresh. You put it in your fridge. They're ready to go.
Last time I came in town to visit Juice, they did not piss on all my stuff. And I can't help but wonder if that's related to their improved diet, thanks to Smalls.
They do. Their diets have improved. Their energy's improved. We really genuinely love Smalls. We are paying customers of Smalls. It's been.
Do you ever eat it?
I have never eaten it. No. One time we did, before we figured out exactly how much Smalls we needed, we ran out, and the cats were furious. They demanded that I go out and smooth up the birds myself, and I told them, I don't know how to smooth up the birds. Only Smalls knows how to smooth them up the way you like.
And trust me, you don't want to search like how to smooth up birds on YouTube. It'll fuck your algorithm up so bad.
Don't smooth up your own birds. Reach for Smalls.
Reach for the Smalls.
Reach for the Smalls for a limited time because you're a my brother and me listener. You can get 60% off your first order of Smalls plus free shipping by using code MYBROTHER. That's 60% off when you head to smalls.com and use promo code MYBROTHER. Again, that's promo code MYBROTHER for 60% off your first order plus free shipping at smalls.com.
Hey, Alexis.
Hey, Ella.
What animal has the most teeth?
I would guess a shark.
A snail.
No, snails don't have teeth.
They have thousands and they are freaky looking.
No, I don't want that to be true. Okay. Did you know that the hippocampus in your brain is named after the half horse, half fish sea creature found in Greek mythology?
I didn't know that, but we're meant to be doing animal trivia and a hippocampus isn't a real animal.
Well, that doesn't matter on Comfort Creatures.
You're right, it doesn't matter at all.
Comfort Creatures is a cozy show for lovers of animals of all shapes and sizes, real and unreal.
If that sounds like your cup of tea, then join us every Thursday for new episodes on MaximumFun.org.
Are you a celebrity? Are you searching for meaning, connection, and a little levity these days? Hi, I'm Kumail Nanjiani, actor, writer, and yes, a celebrity too. And I've got four words for you. Bullseye with Jesse Thorne. Are you tired of junkets, red carpets, sick of the endless spicy snacks you have to eat? Do you want to connect with someone who gets your work and laugh with you a little? Join me, Andre 3000, Tom Hanks, Tina Fey, and many more and become a guest on Bullseye with Jesse Thorne from NPR and Maximum Fun.
Should we do another question?
I'd love to.
Yeah.
I'm at the Home Depot to buy two ladders. It feels insane to just have two ladders in my cart with nothing else. How do I not look like a fool walking out of this store pushing a two-ladder full cart?
It's from Ladders 2. Too many in D.C.
Just get one big long ladder.
Or why get two ladders?
What a waste of time.
You can fucking get one ladder.
Get one
you
bigger
get
ladder.
One ladder, and then later, one ladder. There's so many fucking ways around this, my man.
I think that ladder store, there should just be ladder stores that yes. exclusively sell ladders. You can't yeah. buy them anywhere else. And the aisles are gigantic, so you could turn your cart around. Know what, like, there's this exclusive path. Every time I have had to buy ladders multiple times in my life from working in technical theater. And yeah. every time you get a ladder, you feel like you've instantly been launched into a Three Stooges bit.
Yeah.
Where it's like, well, I'm going to be destroying this place and everyone around me for the next 15 minutes. Minutes.
Give me a fucking 12-foot deep turbo cart so I don't have to look like an asshole in the aisles of the Home Depot.
I if you don't have a big ladder right now,
yeah,
I would say it's time to start thrifting. And it's time to get out there to the yard sales.
Mm.
And it's time because one of the things that really changed my life was about 15 years ago, right when I started being late for everything.
Wait a minute.
It's not related.
Okay. No, it might be. Let me and Travis decide if it's related.
No. Because this was probably like 7 years ago. I was living at that place on, you remember the place I used to live before this one? And my principal from elementary school, Miss Scott, lived behind me.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that.
I know. It's crazy, right? But
dude, you should have let me know. I'd throw this all like stinky old watermelons and fucking egg, nasty Halloween eggs.
No, she was nice. I liked her. Miss Scott. She was incredible.
You got her as the principal.
She's an inspirational educator, man.
Yeah, man. But it's the principal of the thing.
No, anyway.
Gosh, oh, actually, Griffin convinced me with that one.
She came up to my house and she said, Justin, I got a new ladder. Do you want my old ladder? Ooh. And it was a really big ladder. It was a really tall ladder.
So you're saying her new ladder was a step up?
Shit, man. These things really write themselves. Really yeah.
That's really good. And I was like, it's a really big ladder. At first, I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do with this. But like, once you have a big ladder, you have really changed your options as a human being.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of
you've expanded the different applications, different territories that you have available to you as a person.
Roof?
You know what I mean?
I assume it's how we got to powered flight, right? At a certain point, the ladders can only get so high. And then we went, all right, so how do we get above that?
Yeah.
Let's put like 100 years into figuring out planes.
I just feel like there's certain things that you can get that make you start thinking of yourself in different ways. And a big ladder is one of them.
Yes.
Because you are suddenly the kind of person that's just like, well, it's really high, but I know I can call Justin about that because he does have a big ladder.
Justin can get up that. There. It's like Justin having a pickup truck, right? Where it's like suddenly you've entered into a new category in your friend's
You're a small
brain.
Business.
Yeah, you're useful now as a human being.
Yeah, I felt that I had to buy for this, for the prom that we just wrapped up. Thank you, by the way, to everybody who came out and saw the show and said hi. And some people traveled a long distance, so thank you. But I had to get a pair of really big, like thick bolt cutting.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Yeah, I got a set of those.
And then after I bought it, I was like, you know, now fences.
Yes.
Aren't really
anything
a problem for me anymore. Like, if I ran into a fence, I would momentarily be like, someone wants to keep me out of here. But then I would think about, I actually have a ladder and bolt cutters. So, like,
anywhere is available.
Chainsaw. Chainsaw did that for me. I look at trees now and I'm like, you think you're so fucking
temporary,
hot?
Temporary problem. I'm the guy on my hill that cuts the trees in half when they fall across the road. I got a chainsaw.
When you're walking through the aisles of the Lowe's, it's like you are in a Metroidvania, only all the shit is just kind of like right there. And you can grab it and access any of the sort of backtracking spots that you need to in one go.
The number of times I've just stopped and longingly stared in like the big sledgehammer or like hatchet section. And I'm like, I don't have any need for those, but how powerful would I feel knowing that I have a big, powerful hatchet?
It's where you have to be careful, and it is why, if I may speak on it.
Please.
It is why a submarine is such a threat for rich man. Because the thing is, you decide you deserve to be in water, and you desire to move through the water unabated. Yeah, you desire to increase your skill set to can plumb the depth.
Right.
And I understand it.
You want to have full coverage. Like, I get it, rich man. So many. Sure.
You don't have to be that rich. Don't get me wrong. You got to be rich. But to have a private plane, you got to be super rich to have a private submarine.
Super rich.
Yeah.
And I do think there's a certain amount of wealth that should be considered a mental illness.
Sure. That,
right. Yeah, obviously. I think if you're rich enough that you're investing in, say, your own private submarine.
Right. It should be considered a mental illness.
It's also, though, if you do it in a certain way, an incredibly philanthropic exercise, because you're going to give all your money away. Technically, legally speaking, to
your dirtbag kids. But listen, the thing is, I understand when I go to the top of house with ladder and I think, here I am.
Yeah.
I'm above house.
Cool.
I understand this. I understand the fury of looking into ground and thinking, I wish to go deeper.
Yes.
But you can't. I don't have tools available to
go
deeper.
No, I wish I had big drill or something.
Yeah. I wish I could have big drill. I understand Oak Island. They wish to go down.
Yeah. They wish to go down. Go up, easy. Go down.
Easy.
Sideways?
All can go up.
Anyone can go sideways.
Anyone can go sideways. Give me up, give me down. Please.
Balloon boy goes up.
Balloon boy goes down. Anyone go up. I tell you what, all I need, what I know is I love the idea of a submersible, but all I really need is like the old Disney World 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea ride, where I just need to be convinced. 15
feet under the water, for sure.
I just need to be convinced I've gone into a deep sea submersible, and then I can see animatronic fish and octopi.
That's what you need. You got to remember, because this is a bad monkey part of your brain that's telling you you need to go down, because it's easily tricked. You can sit this 20,000 Leagues ride and just fold your arms and think, yes, I am a
glass bottom boat.
I'm in the ocean. I am king of ocean.
Glass bottom boat, and my monkey voice like fucking chills.
Let me sleep in a chamber for 4 hours and tell me I'm decompressing as I move deep down, but really I've just gone below some gross green murky water.
Yeah.
And then I see maybe someone in a mermaid costume swimming around.
That's why it's so easy to trick people into thinking they've been cryogenically frozen.
Yeah.
Because that means they've traveled through time and they think, yes, just as it should be. I've mastered the waves of time. I've traveled through them.
Travis mentioning the origins of flight made me think of here at the Air and Space Museum, there is a section that is dedicated to, obviously, the Wright brothers and them sort of getting that thing up and off the ground, no pun intended. And there's also a section in there that is full of people who, I guess, were sort of self-styled comedians at the time, coming up with their own fanciful designs.
Prop comedians, literally.
Again.
Propeller comedians.
A lot of puns this episode. I do want to apologize on behalf of all three of us. But it's comedians and it's designs of their like fucking bullshit Red Bull flight contest, like, oh, sure, you want to fly? Here's one. It's got 20 birds tied to it, thinking these assholes are trying to come up with something that will never happen, and they're just trying to rip everyone off. And then all of a sudden, the Wright brothers did eventually get it right. These people should have their own wing of the museum that's like the world's biggest, dumbest assholes wing of the comedians who said it would never happen. I'm saying they don't go hard enough on these people.
Wait, on the people who didn't believe in the Wright brothers?
The comedians who were shooting their shot at the Wright brothers thinking this is easy comedy because these assholes are trying to fly and the Bible says we cannot do that. But then
just call it the wrong brothers, and it's every comedian.
We are no longer allowed to joke about people who are more important and will have a bigger impact on history than us. The McElroy brothers are going to find themselves out of work pretty quickly.
Well, that's why we let history do that, Justin. You don't have to, like, in our lifetime, we won't know what a huge failure.
We are writing history. We also understand we're writing history.
We also we're living history.
We also hedge our bets quite a bit when it comes to new technologies and the exciting applications of those technologies. We do not judge. We wait to see who is, when the dust settles,
where the money is.
Where the money is at.
There's one thing the McElroy brothers are into, and it's getting fucking paid.
Getting
paid.
You
know what I mean?
By tech.
By tech.
By big,
big pharma.
General.
Little pharma.
Yeah, sorry, baby. Sorry, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Baby, I want a money.
The fuck's going on, man?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly where I want your head to be at.
Oh,
Pizza Hut unveils a new lineup of over-the-top pizzas, and
like the movie
really,
with arm wrestling.
So they're not really that funny. That's just what they're calling their lovers pizzas, so like pepperoni lovers, meat lovers, veggie lovers. They got a new one,
meat toppers.
So this is really what I want to talk about.
I'm glad Pizza that got Griffin.
Yeah, you
I got a little cheeky
little
smirk. Got a Griffin on meat toppers.
A little cheeky.
Pizza Hut is hooking up pizza lovers with more of what they love this summer with the launch of the Hut Lovers Pizzas, a limited time lineup of four over-the-top pizzas, each piled high with premium toppings, priced at $12.99 for one large pizza.
Good.
Pizza Hut is delivering more of what fans love. More toppings, more flavor, more good times for less.
Stinky, dusty
crust. Hut Lovers pizzas are here to prove that legendary pizza doesn't have to come with a large price tag. There's something for everyone in the Hut Lovers pizzas, including pineapple lovers.
Can I tell you guys, I'm sorry to interrupt, Justin. I never do that. But you know how oftentimes people will talk about the words that like ick them out?
Yeah, yeah.
There's something about lover in a non-romantic context that really just skeeves me right to the bone.
You're in for a rough few minutes. There's something for everyone with the Hut Lovers pizza, including pineapple lovers. According to Pizza Hut's 2025 Pizza Trends Report, 38% of pizza fans proudly chose pineapple as their favorite topping.
Yeah.
Huh.
This is a loud 38%
as their favorite.
Okay, but Justin, you got to think about like survivorship bias. You got to think about these. But this is the problem. Everybody reads polls and they get the data and they think this means something huge and
this
vital.
This means
and
something. We're falling apart.
Or,
I felt so good about this country lately.
Yeah.
And this is like really starting to fuck with me.
Was that exclusively in the US of A? Because it's
possible. Yeah, this country that we live in. This one.
That's spite. That's people fucking with Pizza Hut. It's
I feel like it's people trying to ruin data.
Yes.
That we can't have any truth anymore.
And this is where you're drawing the. This is what. This is the line must
38%?
Yeah, no. But imagine.
Over a third of people say pineapple is their favorite?
Imagine you're you and you get an email from Pizza Hut that says, hey, we'd like you to participate in a brief survey. You're not opening that email. But if you're one of these pineapples guys and you think, like, I got to find ways to push the envelope, push the cause, you're going to jump at every opportunity you can to overrepresent yourself.
I also am just going to just preempt. If you're, like, sitting down right now to email us about how great pineapple is and how you love pineapple pizza, that's fine. You're allowed to like that. But you must recognize that you are not in a 38% section of the country that thinks that.
That's what should trouble you more is you're losing a little bit of, like, there's one thing that people who like pineapple on pizza love to talk about, and it's pineapple on pizza.
Yeah.
They go wild for it because they're so iconoclastic.
They actually 38%. So hard. They actually so actually, I like pineapple on pizza so hard. They let the conversation go on for like 10 minutes about how bad pineapple on pizza is as they sit there just charging up to go, actually,
but the reason I wanted to have the reason I'm floating is like I feel like I am no longer in touch because as we've been with more adults ordering pizza, like as we've started to order pizza at shows, I've noticed that like Griffin gets cheese pizzas at the shows, and it's he's still done it even though I've razzed him about it previously, apparently on shows, and just, he keeps doing it.
Just
and I don't know what I can do to
how help. Am I doing on pizza toppings and stuff? Just to check in as long
absolutely
as
so wretched that there's no hope. I keep hoping I could prod Griffin into tossing the pepperoni on there or something.
You know, I have you sausage, onion, and pepper. What it's are you talking about?
No. Travis, I'm sorry. You're perfect.
Thank you.
You don't need to change anything.
Thank you.
Sausage, pepper, and onion is the best. Mm. Sausage, pepperoni, onion, and pepper is also quite good.
Yeah. How much shit do you fucking need on your food? Pizza has
protein
so much
and veggies.
Pizza has so much shit on it already. It's got cheese and sauce and bread and spices and I guess that's
so you're
it,
you take a monastic approach to pizza is what you're saying, where you say, this is all I need. More than this would be too much
if
enjoyment.
If you sat down to make a pizza, first of all, stand up. Don't sit down to make a pizza. That's crazy. Why are you making pizza on the floor, man? But if you're making a pizza,
it's where my pizza stone is.
The part where you make the pizza is going to take you 96% of the time you're going to spend making that pizza. The 4% remainder is when you slop a few fucking discs of hog meat on there, and then you say like, this is the what it's all really about.
I'm so confused what you're pointing at.
This is like even wilder than some of the wilder things that Travis is saying Thank yesterday, you. Griffin. You are so gone. You're so gone.
It's like, yeah, making bread.
Like, what is your
It's a lot more work
pepperoni?
Than making
like,
you, a sandwich, but you don't just eat the fucking bread.
Yeah, it's like part of the experience. I don't want to talk about cheese pizza, though. It's fine. I want to ask you guys this.
Yeah.
How many people's pizza orders do you know right now by heart?
Cheese. This house is as for me and
You're
my house.
You're just a cheese house?
As for me and
I can
my
understand
house,
for the simplicity.
I know my children like cheese because they're children. Teresa and I both like sausage, onion, and pepper. Griffin likes cheese.
Yeah.
And Rachel Jacobs, our editor, likes pizza with veggies on it. That's all I've got. Top of my head.
I know my, Cooper likes sauce and sausage, no cheese. Charlie likes cheese, no sauce.
Oh, what a fun combo you got.
Yeah, you could
there,
get it half and half on a pizza.
That feels like a mystery
insane.
Shopper order that you're placing every time you order
feels
pizza.
Feels like one of those prank.
Every time I order pizza, I have to open it to see if they thought I was kidding. Or
you have to inform that it is not a none pizza left beef situation.
Yeah, I know Tommy gets mushroom, onion, pepperoni, sausage because I remember it.
Four
as
is insane. That's
mops.
Four toppings.
Mops. Mushroom, onion, pepperoni, sausage. Mops.
That's crazy, man.
He's a big guy, though.
Yeah. And he's got a big hunger.
Big hunger. Big pizza.
There's a reason they charge extra for more than, like, one or two times.
Because it's better.
Tastes better. Yeah.
Like they don't charge extra to make things worse.
Wait, actually, Griffin, I'm really sorry we cut you off, because I feel like you were building to one of the dumber things you've ever said. I feel sorry that we cut off your momentum.
Pizza charge more because you're not supposed to do it. It's a punishment. It's a fee, a tax, a tariff that you are paying for your greed.
It's a tariff.
Here's the one thing, though. If you don't eat pepperoni on your pizza, your average annual pepperoni consumption absolutely plummets through the fucking mantle of the earth, man. If I'm not eating
pepperoni, they don't come up randomly a lot.
They do not show up on my meals without me hunting them down. Now that
unless you're at a bad salad buffet, and then it's like, well, this will help. Hey, everybody!
Hey.
Thanks.
God damn it!
Oh my god! Thanks to everybody who came out to Columbus for the Columbus shows. They were
it was really fun. Those shows and the signings were great.
Dad became best friends with everybody. Thank you. Everybody who came out and talked to our dad. He needs this. Thank you so much. Next up, we're going to be in Anaheim doing a Dadlands with Brendan Lee Mulligan running that and my brother and me. And we're going to be in Sacramento doing another my brother and me. Also coming up, we're going to be in Texas, Georgia, and Utah. All Taz shows will be Taz versus, except for Anaheim, which will be Dadlands. You can find out the dates and get tickets and all the info at bit.ly/McElroy Tours.
We got some new merch up in the merch store for you to go and check out. There's a 20 Thunder Drive pin. That is shimmering and beautiful and strong. There's a bunch of other stuff over at macwarrenmerch.com as well. And 10% of all merch proceeds this month will be donated to the Immigrant Defenders Law Center, which provides full-scale deportation defense, legal representation, legal education, and social services to approximately 30,000 children and adults annually. Also, hey, thanks to Montaigne for the use of our theme song, My Life is Better With You. Montaigne has a new album out called It's Hard to Be a Fish. I listened to it while we were traveling last week, and I fucking love it. And I bet you will too. So get it wherever fine music is sold and distributed. Thank you, Montaigne.
Justin, you want to read the fear this week?
Oh, thank you, Travis. I'd love to do that. How flattering. I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
This year, I vow to be faster than my fear of being tweeted about by Tony Hawk for not recognizing him in public. My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been My Brother, My Brother, Me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.